with good. I'll be done with the sort of technical section in a minute. The techniques that we applied to create and employ the lit process in Narcotics Anonymous, which generated the basic text. And it has been a severe pain in my heart to have to work with people at world level that do not know what you've heard me say this afternoon. And not knowing that they couldn't apply their very own techniques. So, anyway, we continue this sort of, you have to have like a little discussion with the folks that are doing this kind of work and say like, it's going to seem a little hokey, but it's going to be like one of those guys that like that sells things or something and he calls, come on, who's got the next line? You got to jazz it up. You kind of got to sit up straight and, you know, the next line is so-and-so. So we completed all 10 chapters in that matter. Then we had all the rust typed. And then we got into editing. One little committee of the Whirlit Committee dealt with stories. That's why people like me didn't know whose name went with what story title. Because for a certain period of time, I think in 85 or so, 86, WSO was mad at me because they thought I know who wrote the stories that they were looking for. They were looking for people that wrote these stories so they'd get a signed approval form and then include the stories in basic text. Well, I couldn't tell them because to function as chair of this spiritual service body, I had to not know whose name went with what title. Because if there was even the hint that Bo was playing favorites, the whole thing would have caved in. Because it's all a house built on faith. So outside of getting the pleasure and honor of going to the mailbox, pulling out, opening it, reading it for the first time, then it went in the file and went to committee. And they assigned the titles to them. I never knew. And maybe one or two cases, like I know my sponsor's story pretty good, found only an A meet in the world. But that was just like happenstance. But anyway, that wasn't considered like as important as the basic text itself. So that was begun at Memphis, but mainly, then we had these rusts. Okay, now what are you going to do with rusts? You're going to rewrite it. Who's going to rewrite it? Who wants to? We'd come together every 6 hours for a group conscience session. And then all the workshops from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 till all the other workshops, how they're doing, ask questions, share solutions they found. And then you break up and go back into workshop. And then come together 4, 5, 6 hours later. And then break up and go into workshop. And then come together. And went on all week. And I swear to God, boy, about Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, we was flying again. I mean, it came up that some members in Philadelphia had some input. And some of the members in Memphis said, well, we should have Federal Express send out that. That's only so-and-so dollars overnight. And the group got real quiet, and I'll never forget, it's like 8 or 9 men and women standing around me, and everybody had their head down. And I was chair, and I'm trying to serve them, be their trusted servant. Like, I don't know what they're thinking, what they got their head down for. So I asked one of them, I said, well, what you think, folks? They said, well, 24 hours is a long time. Couldn't they just take it out at the airport and put it on a plane like a real person? I said, yes, I think that could be arranged. That's what we did. They run the material out, put it on the jet. We run out to the airport in Memphis, picked it up, and it was there in 4 or 5 hours. Didn't have to wait 24 hours. And, you know, and then the committee receiving it, you know, they just absorb it into the work. And, but we were running into certain troubles because, like, reading, even if there's 50 experienced lit workers present, with handheld copies of the material being read in hand, items come up that are hard to address because you get nitpicky. I mean, should this be a gerund or a split infinitive? Is it okay to use a split infinitive? We used one several pages ago. You're just getting like this cerebral trance, and it's like you know, it's real hard to get folks, you know, working together and agreeing on things. So we made up another experimental way called Memphis. What did we call that? Memphis Flow Reading. How does that grab you? And that's where you get 50 or 100 members with handheld copies, and you, readers take turns because the name of the game is to read it so damn fast that it short circuits your conscious mind. I mean, really, I'm not even going to do it. It's just the, but it's like burlesque, right? And it short circuits your conscious mind. Now, everybody in the room has to agree that it's okay, and they give their full permission to have this conscious mind short-circuited as they sit in the chair and participate in this Memphis Flow Reading. Okay? We're just going to try it, folks. If it doesn't work, we'll stop doing it. Okay, we'll try. So, I just read it. Now, you can read a whole chapter. See, the trouble with these chapters being, what, 10, 15 pages, 20 pages long, is it may take you 3 or 4 hours for a little editing workshop to plow through a single chapter. Or even 4 or 5 pages if they get bogged down. Whereas with this flow reading, you can jam through an entire chapter in about 5 or 10 minutes. Okay? But you're probably asking yourself, what, if any, good is it? Okay. I hope you're still with me. You mark, because your eyes don't have to move like this to follow the reader, if you spot something that makes you feel weird, funny, there might be an error here, you don't pencil in a little recommended thing, you know, in tiny little fine letters. You just make a mark on that part of the page. Okay? Now we finish the flow reading. Okay, get your coffee. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Now we're back in 5 minutes. Now we discuss marks. Anybody got anything on page 1? Yes? What is it? Speak up. They can't hear you. And then we decide what to do about their mark in paragraph 2. Somebody else caught it over here. Same damn thing. They spot a redundancy that was mentioned on page 1 and they caught it on page 15. Because it happened within 15 minutes. They could, it felt funny to hear that again. That's a redundancy, I think. So they marked it, checked it later. They had time to check later. And they spotted the redundancy, edited it out. Okay, another thing is you can't read material that's written a certain way this rapidly. The reader will trip up, okay? That's one reason why you can read the basic text that way. You probably never tried it or thought about it. You may not have otherwise. We thought of this and talked about it openly. Like when you're laying there reading like in a chair or something like that, nobody's watching you. Nobody's going to criticize. Nobody gives a fuck if you cheat and skip a page. They don't care. You're just reading it. And if you speed read or you read a lot, I mean, you're just reading whole sentences like there's words. After a while, you just turn the page. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like another state of mind. It's real common, but you don't do it in public, so nobody talks about it. Well, we figured out people would likely be reading this book a lot, and that it might be good that it was written that way. Also, that it might be read in a lot of meetings, and therefore it should read well and smoothly. So by just reading the fire out of it, I mean, if there was like some kind of phrase or poorly placed word or a long or difficult word that didn't read well or most people weren't familiar with, it got edited out. You know how it got detected. I mean, those Memphis Flow readings. The other funny thing, and look at me, look at my little hairs. Yeah, that watch would screw this up. I've never gone this deep on this subject before with anybody. I don't think. But anyway, y'all set the stage for it. That's what made the difference. So we did not just one, but when we were doing the flow reading, okay, we can do editing And we could have 15 tables in this room, 4 chairs each, and you cannot hear noticeably what's being discussed at the next table. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? The next table ain't hearing you. Now, if you yell and make something out of the way, then people like to look up, but they got to do it, right? Their brains are set to ignore what's happening at the next table. Where during a flow reading, guess what? We're in here, you know, a series of people is taking turns to read until they run out of breath. Somebody could walk by at the other end of this great hall and say, "Hey, is there any more coffee in there?" And all 60 people in the flow reading would go like, I mean, just stop and look over like, you know, hostile, man. Like, did you really just stick your finger in my eyeball? I mean, you could feel it. You know, it's visceral. And, you know, these poor people, they just wanted some coffee, right? They didn't think they were, like, really interrupting it, you know, intruding on our territory 75 feet away. But it was because we were in this other state of consciousness, see? That's another one that only... And some people could not stay in the room during a Memphis flow reading because the process and whatever it does to your brain, they just weren't ready for. They sit there for like 2 or 3 minutes. It's almost like you see them break out in sweat. I'm trying to get out of here. We say, yes, go now, quickly, please. You know, but it was a real cool technique, and it really helped get the book. And, it's laughable in a way, but it's like, how else do you do that if you don't have millions of dollars to pay people? Or even if you do have millions of dollars to pay people, why not do that with members and let them spot the errors and things they'd like to see in their literature? So anyway, we got done. So we had Memphis draft chapter 1, first edit. Memphis chapter 1, second edit. We got all of them done in Memphis. A continuation. No, not much was done with stories. Stories were mainly just generally read, and this group of stories is ready to, could be printed for review form as is. So that was stacked in the file system somewhere. Okay? And about, remember, Sunday to Sunday, or Saturday the week, and then the following Sunday. About Thursday, we knew we were going to get done. It wasn't done yet, but, you know, God willing, the Mississippi River don't rise, we was going to get done. What's going to happen next? We're going to wait a couple of months and then see if the conference wants to send it out. What do you mean? The conference wants us to send out our own review materials, right? Well, yeah, but how are we going to get that money? Why should that be a problem? We've got plenty of support. So, we finished it. We put out the word through this huge network of literature committees, which by now reached every tiny creek and hollow of the entire worldwide fellowship from Calcutta to Sydney. And the fellowship coughed up about at least $20,000 within a couple of weeks. Much more money than anybody in NA had ever seen in one place at one time. The typist tried to retype it, and they kept coming across things. Maybe some authorized changes were made, but they eventually got a typing service to retype all the material, put numbers out beside the lines, punch it, GBC bind it. A quarter of a million sheets of paper were used to print them. And simultaneously, over in Marietta, where I live, this feller, Roger, with a lot of our support, spent about $500 or $600 in less than 30 days to locate every NA meeting on the face of the planet. And we'd sit around and egg him on. He'd run out of ideas. So if there wasn't a listed meeting in Dublin, we'd call the hospital in Dublin, and if they didn't know nothing, we'd call someplace else. If we ran out of ideas, we'd go on to Germany and come back to Dublin. But in the end, we got meetings, places nobody even dreamed that there were NA meetings. And they'd get phone calls, these weird-ass phone calls from these crazy Americans. And so we located every meeting on the face of the planet, raised the money, had the material printed, and we had been chastised for not sending out our review material. And also it was in our guidelines to collect, compile, and review material prior to consideration at the annual WSC. They probably didn't think about the scale on which we was going to collect or the scale on which we was going to compile, the several hundred thousand man hours gone by, or the scale on which we would review. And since we had gotten the donations from the fellowship and we had enough waveforms printed and we had located every meeting in the world to where they'd get one, it was the conscience of the committee, the spiritual service body, to send a copy free to every meeting on the face of the planet. And that's what we've done. And so, you know, Atlanta, we went out to the airport, and here was these two or three boxes, and we was all like nervous as cats, and couldn't wait to get our hands and eyes on them, you know. We dived in and pulled it out, you know, first ones, you know, and they did the same thing in L.A. and Philly, and it's all over the place. We just drove around the rest of the night knocking on people's doors, you know, and finally the sleepy people would come to the door and say, I think they live next door. We were right next door, you know. Give them that gray form and took them by hospitals, took them by wherever acts were. And the woman in Olivia in Dublin went down to the post office and got hers and just floored her, you know, this great big bulky package from the United States of America. What could possibly be in it? And just, you know, she started crying, ran around Dublin, Ireland, all the rest of the insurance people. And so I'm going to cut off here so that we can have time. There was other conferences, like after Memphis and Santa Monica, there was additional edit of chapters, and the committee got even better at doing it. By now, there were people who had been working with it 2 or 3 years. And get the time sequence, too. Wichita to Lincoln was a year. Lincoln to Memphis was 4 or 5 months. Memphis, or 2 or 3 months, yeah. Memphis to Santa Monica was a couple of 3 months. Santa Monica to Warren, Ohio was 3 months, I think. Warren, Ohio to Miami, Florida, 3 months. And then back to Memphis, about another 3 months. And then Philadelphia Lit Conference. And then that's where the stories were all taken care of. The white form was sent out from Memphis. The book was finished in Miami. That was the 7 conferences, though. It was Wichita, Lincoln, Memphis, Santa Monica, Warren, Miami, and Philadelphia. And that completed it. And so help me God, I just don't know how this miracle happened, but I'm real glad, and I'm sure I speak for everybody on all the committees in all those years, that the idea of being able to turn around what the disease was doing to us and just going to keep doing unopposed forever. It made us into sort of like spiritual warriors or something. And, you know, people died, like they tried to get in. They started back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And, you know, they even die in some places today, but it ain't as bad. And people have died that helped write your basic text. Roger's gone, Gina's gone, Tom the Red's dead. But at least they lived for something. Out of all the addicts that have died, at least they lived for something. I mean, Jimmy got to see his dream come true. Things divide us. Like, the more strong we got, like, bureaucratically and dealing with this paperwork and dealing with this communication system, like, without realizing that we had more friends and more support, more money, more connections, longer mail list, better equipment, quicker response time. We were just so tuned in to the fellowship. It was like we would go to L.A. and instead of being like those slow pokes from the East Coast, we'd go to L.A. and those fast people from Los Angeles and San Francisco would be sitting there watching us zip around the room. And I mean, just like, how did they do this? You know, some of the rumors and gossips in those days, who's behind them? The Ford Foundation giving them money? And I mean, you know, me losing my wife and my kids and my business, I'm still paying off bills that come from those years. And people still laugh at me saying I'm a poor example of recovery because I don't have more personal cash. But I may be the only spiritual billionaire you'll ever know. Because I've seen more miracles. When I saw that thing, you know, Blade Runner, and the guy was dying at the end and said, I've seen the moons from Io. I've seen better than that right here through my recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. So, what is this sign? Anonymous? Well, you know, if we had gone through all this without cracking some jokes and hamming it up a little bit, could have torn us up, you know. So anonymi was like, what, the Latin plural of anonymous. And so we was constantly making up jokes. And one of the jokes, which anonymi actually was not sort of a joke, it was the idea was that because of the kind of service we were doing, the kind of strains that were on us, and the wavelength, I guess, that we were on, and the fact that we were servicing the needs of a worldwide fellowship, and that we had been doing it long enough to where it was like our ordinary. You know, what are you doing today? Writing a letter to the entire NA fellowship. What else? Don't we all? And then average members would go like, you are doing what? You know, we'd have people like outraged and mad at us. Well, what kind of damn ego trip are you on? You know, like somebody's got to do it. What, something wrong with me? And, you know, don't answer that. But, you know, some of the World Lit workers made up the joke or the notion. Or they made up a chip that said anonymous, or at least one of those little pins. And some little anonymous meetings where they would share their feelings and what they're going through. Oh, I'd run up to members in Atlanta after one of these conferences and say, oh, the book's coming. Oh, she's so great. Isn't it wonderful? And they'd go like, you know, look at me like, you piece of shit. And I'd go like, what kind of reaction is that? Thanks a lot, guys. So much for the home team. I'd sit down at the table and start rattling on about the book, and then I'll get up and leave. And I'd go like, what? In Atlanta, Georgia, where I lived like 20 miles out, they called it Bo's Damn Book. Because from their perspective, they didn't know that we really were calling, writing, and seeing people all around the whole fellowship on a daily basis. So to them, it seemed like Bo's Damn Book. It took them a while to figure out, no, hell, that's a whole damn fellowship. Yes, sir, it can happen here. Then they took a more gentle view. Change, impact, pressure, communication, spiritual restraint, check your facts, don't go with the rumor, take it with a grain of salt, give the other guy the benefit of the doubt. If you don't have like a big bag of tools like that, you're not going to make it. It's just like trying to do God's work with an ego. It's just like we took this little tape recorder, and for some reason, we decided we wanted to get more music to where it'd play louder, like out in the yard. And somebody said, well, let's just switch over to 220. That'll work. Well, no, it won't. It'll just blow up the radio. And so for somebody to do this kind of work with an ego, it's like you would blow up. It'd be like a fuse. You try to put too much juice through too little wire and it burns out to protect the equipment. Maybe that's what our egos are, our fuses or something. But if you completely like brainwash out of yourself and just all of your whole thought system and action system, the thought of ego and self and gain and what other people are going to think, we just had to completely forget all that stuff. Man, if we'd carried baggage like that with us, we never would have been able to walk the mile. It's hard enough doing what we did. A lot of times that got us in trouble. It made other people envious of us, or they thought we were trying to take control, or they thought we were upstaging them, if you're familiar with movie terms. And we just like, what are we going to break the conference because they're upset in L.A. because we're getting done with the basic text? Surely they'll figure out they're going to get the book next. You know, they'll accept it in time. And, you know, funny rumors. I mean, I talked about the two fellowships, and who here has not been in a transitional community that was going from AANA to just NA? And the people get, start yelling politics and yell other things. So I had people behind my back calling rumors to LA that weren't even in Narcotics Anonymous, and L.A. believed what they heard on the telephone because what I was doing so upset these people who were not in the N.A. that it was actually happening, that they would either tell them what a rotten guy I am or even embellish what a rotten guy I am. And in L.A., they still believe today what they were told 10 years ago. What am I going to do, go out there and shake them? I love them. I'm sorry it all happened. I wish to God I'd been able to find a way to just stay in literature and not be in WC administration, not be on the Board of Trustees for 5 years. Maybe I did some good, but somebody would have to point it out to me. You know, I learned that I have a lot of restraint and discipline. But, you know, my love is always literature. And the policy stuff, I understand a lot of that. I was trustee liaison to finance. Anyway, well, that's okay. This is a history workshop. You know, what do you do with old service workers? Well, the people that wrote your basic text were very active. Like, typically, a lit worker would show up in the beginning and say, well, there are four meetings in the state of Ohio. And 6 months later, they said, we got 20 meetings in Ohio now. And a year later, they said, we got 50 meetings. It just wasn't uncommon. You know, and I was chairing World Lit and chaired the World Convention, which was sort of a disaster. But then 4 or 5 years later, the WSC put me on the ad hoc committee to work on convention guidelines. Thought Bo got his revenge. And then this other upset chair from Milwaukee sent me notes, and God came up with a plan, and those guidelines were approved, the convention guidelines for the old fellowship. Me and Joseph played a terrific role in all this, and he couldn't be here today. And his car was broke or something like that. But, you know, things happen to us when people don't cherish or appreciate, you know, what we've been trying to do and our hopes and dreams. And a lot of people like Joseph and Jim Miller and a couple of others get something kind of torn out of them. And it's hard for them to go on like nothing had happened and pretend. And, you know, maybe working on history will set some of that to rest. Because we have to take care of our own people. Because if we don't care and we don't take care of them, then nobody else will. You don't set them up on pedestals. You're right. That would kill them. But you don't kick them when they're down either. And you can give them cheery little phone calls to let them know you give a damn. And, you know, like his mom died not long ago, and everybody in Narcotics Anonymous around the East knew about it. But he just went into like a not communicating spell. So anyway, What are we going to do next? You want me just to step down and we'll do the tape or questions?
You plugged in? Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
I kind of have two questions. One is, when I lived in Van Nuys, I remember speaking to one of the members of the President Literature Committee and being denied access to one of their meetings, even if I said I wouldn't say anything, and asking a lot of questions about all this controversy over the staff team approach and professional writers and trying to, you know, why do you feel the need to do this? Because some of our greatest writers have been addicts. And I get very upset at this concept that you put five addicts in a room and they can't even agree how to get out.
You mean some of our greatest writers just in the general population in history?
Throughout society and history.
Like Hemingway was sort of an addict and had short, choppy sentences and whatever.
Yeah. Right. And the thing that we've talked about, and maybe you can clarify it, is you know, their concept is that our literature process didn't work, blah, 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 blah. And I think I've heard you say on other times that it does. They're just not doing it. And that's the coming up with all these newfangled ideas.
I don't think they know what a spiritual process it is and how much a matter of the heart it is.
That's the second part of the question, is this is not about paper and words and grammar. That there's a lot of things
it's
that
not
went
about
into our
things
book.
You can buy at the store.
There's a lot of spirit that went into this book, and I'd like you to address some of that. You've talked on other occasions about the prayer that went into before each meeting. I mean, let's talk about how this is more than English.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that thing that Greg wrote about, you know, divine precepts and all. God grant us, you know, the ability to whatever about divine. But that was written like and read in the later conferences. And prayer was such a continuous part of what went on. It was like eating a meal, but you've been snacking all day. So, I mean, like, you know, like you've been praying all day, so you make this special prayer now and then. Yeah, it's nice, but, I mean, it took all of them prayers. You know, prayer was the way we cut down the infighting. You know, that funny thing I mentioned in the writing over there about when I got back from Lincoln and a lot of the file folders from the Lincoln Lit Conference were empty. And it said Chapter 3 and a little title for Chapter 3. It had nothing absolutely in it. And deep down in my heart, I knew that Joe had betrayed me and stolen that damn material. I couldn't figure out why. And, I mean, it just tore me out of the frame for two or three days. I just, you know, and I didn't have any guiders, any predecessors telling me what to do. I just couldn't figure out what to do. So finally I talked to Joe about it. And he says, Bo, don't you remember we didn't get to those parts? I mean, I just set up the folder, but we never had any material to go in it. So we knew the love and the trust. And we applied that way. We learned those lessons. Am I answering your question?
Sort of.
Okay.
Is it true that...
But you were asking about the prayers and the faith and all.
Whatever on a spiritual
level... I'm just saying, while it was happening on one level, like the physical plane, it was also happening on the spiritual plane.
That's what I'm trying to get at. This was not just English.
And the two were like jammed together somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it seems to sort of float back and forth. Incredible things happen.
I mean, obviously, throughout your story, you've talked about spiritual opposition, the disease as well, and maybe it's overtaken.
Oh, we knew the disease would kill us if it could.
And maybe it has taken over our literature in a sense. Is it true that not only have you not been asked to help with the literature, but you've been blocked from our present literature process? You and the others that were part of the original process?
Well, yeah, I don't know whether they're figuring that one feller should only do so much or they figure they got it knocked. But, you know, I'm an NA member. I help when asked. I mean, I went to San Francisco to find out who was working on the book. How can we help? And a man asked me to help. I said, can I help? He said, sure, help. You know? So I'm used to doing what I'm told. I haven't been told to do nothing. So I've been like writing books and learning computers on the side and trying to pay my bills and such. Take care of my two fine young sons. But I guess maybe I've been blocked, but who the hell knows, Jody? I mean, it's like pulling teeth out of it. It's horrible. Well, that does make you pause and wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah. Great to play Radic.
Isn't it great?
Hi. I've got a great deal of respect for the people that had enough courage and gumption to strike out in a different direction. And no matter what the personal cost was to those individuals, there was a greater spiritual reward always reaped. Anybody that left N.A. Over controversy really didn't have a membership to begin with. And the same is true today. Controversy is vital. Conflict is vital to growth, personal and otherwise. Knowing you as well as I do, I'm sure that you spent the past 4 hours telling us about the spiritual process and probably in a number of asides scratched your head and said, gee, I just don't know what happened then. And that's to be expected. I have some, you know, questions. Maybe you've covered them and maybe you haven't, because I've, you know, spent seemingly months and months.
Let me ask you one real quick on what you said going on this intuitive process. Do you mean don't know what happened when it was happening or after it was over?
Probably a little of both.
Well, one thing I think about after it was over is all those years and all of these spiritual studies. I mean, a lot of people don't really believe God is real, so they're capable of behaving as if God alone is real. So when you're around those people, you have to make certain allowances. And very few people are willing to die for something good. So that's how you push past the normal boundaries.
Correct. It's like stepping off a cliff and saying, well, gosh, I'm not sure if I'm right, and I'm not sure if I'm wrong, but as long as I'm paralyzed by fear, I'm not going to move anywhere, and I'm going to be still suffering the same pain and have that lack of growth. And I know that you believe this, and I know that I believe it, you know, and I know that we believe this. You know, basically the same things. I know our approaches are different. I love conflict. I love the truth. I'm Scotch-Irish.
If it's good for the addicts, I love it.
You know. Well, I hope that that everything we do is guided by that basic spiritual premise. You know, there's a number of things that have come to the attention of members of the fellowship, and whether they're accurate or not is certainly a matter that's in question. Can you, maybe you went over this, but was it true that the fourth and ninth tradition language of the basic text was included in the approval form and also the review and input form, and we won't get into who, how, why, or what, but capriciously it had disappeared between the approval of the approval copy and the printing of the special edition.
Well, let me try to state it more clearly. The material was written mostly by Greg Pierce, edited by the Lit Committee to an extent in the gray form. This is 1980. And then sent to the Board of Trustees for tradition check, like all the materials sent to the Board of Trustees. They had it for a very long time. And while they were working on that, we worked on the rest of the basic text. When it was all done, it went out in the white form. That was out of Memphis after Miami. And then it was out for a good while. It got approved in 82, published in 83. So that means they probably had it more than a year, maybe a year and a half. And then what you're saying is after it got approved in 82, but nobody saw the printing until 83 in May, changes had been made in the document. And all these World Lit workers compared the final approved form with what was actually in the printed version, and they found a couple of discrepancies in the tradition section. And what had happened was the board of directors chair of the WSO, the board trustees chair, and the WSC chair had been advised that Jimmy Kennan didn't like the line saying, the service boards of the committee should never have the power to rule, censor, dictate, or decide. Delete was one item, too. All else is 90A in the fourth tradition. There were other less substantial changes. Those, however, are very, very crucial. Spiritual service bodies, for instance, that think they're committees and start censoring, ruling, dictating, and deciding, lose faith with the people, and the whole thing falls apart. Where's your volunteers? Where's your spirit come from? Why does anybody want to come and work their ass off for that?
Is there a lesson that we might learn from World Services about the deletion of that language and where we might have evolved to because we didn't have that spiritual group conscience approved frame of reference to stand on foundationally in the truth?
But sometimes it's hard to appreciate a lesson when you're learning it, but it sure seemed to me at the time like the fellowship acted like a few members had personal attachment to those lines and that the anonymous thing to do was to support World Services move to delete those lines. Even though they were restored in the second edition, I think, and then taken out again in the third. But it was, don't you see, considered as if it was a personal antagonism between individuals. And I don't think very many members who voted on it stopped to consider whether they really thought areas and regions were Narcotics Anonymous in essential terms. Like, is the hotel the convention? Yeah, sure, the convention takes place there, but you can have the hotel and no convention. You could have the convention out in the big field. If everybody was there and it wasn't raining, everybody felt good.
Well, the whole premise of that tradition was based on NA as such being the groups, and it said that our service boards and committees exist to serve the fellowship, but they are not a part of Narcotics Anonymous. That was the ninth. We seem to have gotten ourselves into spiritual cross purposes by, placing an undue emphasis upon titled service. Wouldn't one, by looking at the traditions, just the wording of the traditions alone, get the idea that there's a requirement for membership on a service board or committee. So it violates our third tradition to be, and also the 12th tradition, that anonymity doesn't apply once we take a service title we're set apart from. So, but it seems to me...
Well, I think it's an even simpler way to, and maybe more useful way to analyze it that might not occur to you, which is that when I got clean in 74 and 75 and 76 and 78 and 79, when the service manuals changed, the service structure was one service structure. It was one way that teaching of the old timers at the time was that all else is not NA. That line didn't come from the new East Coast, Midwest service workers. That was one of our axioms. That came from Jimmy Kennan. That came from, you know, Chuck Skinner and whoever. All else is not NA. That's what we were taught. That's what we learned. That's what we wrote down. And plus, Greg wrote that section, so likely that was input that he derived from what they had taught him. But see, when it was changed authoritatively without checking with even the regions or even asking them, like with a decent phone call and letting them know what's going on, it was just done and printed and that's it, like it or lump it, change the next conference, then that was like an insult to all these NA lovers that had just written their baby up from a dream to a reality. And it was the insult that was tragic. But it was the biggest thing about what you're saying, Dave, is it was never considered on principle. It was exclusively a personal, hot, political, emotionally charged issue, as if it was like two addicts butting heads, and the only question is who has the hardest head.
Right. Well, I've seen the letter that you speak of. There was an inner office memorandum similar to one I have over there that went about the hiring of the professional writer, and it works. From the chairpersons of the three branches of world.
They all three put their names on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was Sally and Raymar.
I thought it was Chuck Skinner.
And Chuck Skinner was the office board chair at the time.
I think it was Chuck Gates at that time. I remember I have a picture of Bob Stone's signature, and it seems like Chuck Skinner.
Well, Bob Stone's signature is in the minutes of the 83 conference in explanation, along with Phil Perez having said that, there was an error there was a printer's error. That was the official position at the time. That there was a printer's error. The inner office memorandum that went out to members of the World Service Conference was
bad, and everybody knows it happened. We need to work on solutions.
Yeah, well, the solution, you know, without knowing where we are today, see, there's a couple of issues surrounding our message today, you know. One is, One is the issue of the message and the integrity of the message and the preciousness of that spirit and the group conscience that birthed that. And what's going on today in terms of, you know, every piece of literature that we have on our tables with five exceptions, which were the pamphlets that were written prior to 76, have been written by the group conscience. All of our literature and everything that we've gotten is a result of a process that we're being told today doesn't work and has in effect been thrown in the trash.
You have to be skilled to work it. I mean, get real, people. People, you know, I've shared the best I can remember from back then today, but I don't blame these professionals. They've been to college for 5 or 10 years and they've been told this is the way you write books. How are they going to listen to a guy like me? I'm just a schmuck.
I think that's a real issue. There's a whole lot of ignorance, man.
Hey, they get paid to do it. I'm broke.
Oh, I hear you.
Who has good sense here?
Well, you know, I mean, Fon talked about a Scotch Irishman, that threw in a Social Security check, you know, to do something worthwhile for Narcotics Anonymous. I happen to be Scotch-Irish, and I threw my Social Security check in to a book here. Okay? I threw my Social Security check in the pot. And I don't pull no punches. I ain't no fucking diplomat. But I'll tell you what. The approval copy of the basic text is the only book that was in total approved by the fellowship, and there were no stories in that. The stories were an afterthought. They were never approved by the groups. Okay.
No, wait. They were
sent out.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, they were sent out.
The white form was right. Miami, sent out at Memphis, and then 3 more months Philadelphia,
right.
And then that form went out later because it wasn't ready in time for the first form.
Right. several groups and several areas, in fact, did vote on the approval of the stories. Because we have available across the street here the original book of 50 stories. Well, we didn't get these out in time, and we don't know what to do with them, and why don't you guys check them out? But the date on that and the votes and looking through the minutes, the stories were never approved. They showed up in the white in the red book. It was a literature committee decision. Not bad or right or wrong, but I need to make that point that they were never approved by the total group conscience. The changes in the third edition revised were done on the Florida conference as an afterthought to the changes that were approved in the white book by the trustees' recommendation of those changes, which was the only unanimous vote in the history of the World Service Conference. 72-0, the changes were approved on the floor of the World Service Conference to change the white book. And as a motion afterthought, they said, well, let's make those changes in the white book consistent with the basic text. So that's how we got the third edition revised. But in fact, in truth, the only book that was ever approved by the groups was the approval copy of the basic text. And that was published under Carina. And the signator for Carina was James P. Kinnon at the time, because I know it's right there.
I think what you're saying is very important, and these people are already settled and supportive. Probably they wouldn't be here. The dream that we had when the basic text was done was like, the theorem was like, man, great, we've won. We finally are good for something. Now we can have conferences. They're a little more comfortable and a little more convenient, a little more time in between it, where we can go a little slower and do a lot better. And we can go back through the gray form for all the good stuff that might have gotten passed over. And we just never had a chance, man. I mean, the money and the money people and the professionals and all that showed up. It's not like they took us away from it because it was God's to us. It's like they reached for it and they thought they took it, and they've been trying to run with it ever since, but it's still in the same place it always was. They just don't know where to look for it, in the heart.
Right. So I guess, you know, the point is...
Because I could create literature today.
Wow. So some of the assertions that are made in this open letter from the trustees concerning the unauthorized printing of the unauthorized basic text and all this other happy horse shit, would you say that you've seen this, of course?
Nope, didn't get a copy.
Oh, well, then perhaps I wouldn't
have heard about
you
that.
To comment on the efficacy of the statements that are made here.
Just starting with the basic idea that World sends out harsh letters directly to groups who may or may not know what's going on.
And members
all by itself,
that's
sowing seeds of controversy. I mean, that violates the 10th right there. And I think, you know, direct responsibility, we should be more direct. And if they had trouble with you or somebody else printing that book, then they should have just been more direct and more up front and not try to get people on the sides drawn in, because that's how newcomers get hurt.
Yep.
Basically.
So would you safely, in your heart and soul, and based upon the copious amount of documentation that you have in your personal possession, and we know that others have this same documentation, say that the basic text belongs to the World Service Office, or that the basic text belongs to everyone sitting in this room?
We wrote it for the fellowship, not for any office. That's why when the old office fell apart, it was sad, but you know what I mean? It's for the fellowship that's important, not the office.
Do you think that we'll have any resolution of the current problems in the structure?
In other words, finishing that, it should be held in trust, like as agent for Narcotics Anonymous by WSO. And if the copyright forms don't read that way, the fellowship owes itself to change them.
Right. The trust relationship was vested in the WSO and stated here in the minutes of the World Service Conference, was vested in the WSO to protect the copyright from unauthorized use by outside organizations, such as, an outside organization. Inside the fellowship, we were under the impression, I assume at the time, because we printed our own literature. And we made our own literature, and we duplicated our own literature, and we passed all that literature around. You know, I got clean. As a matter of fact, there was a five-page letter asking us not to duplicate our literature that was sent out just before I got clean, and it surfaced in my area when I was a member of the area. I made a motion at the area to stop buying key tags from Atlanta Lit and to stop printing our own literature, because if we were going to support NA and WSC and WSO, then we should go all the way with doing that. Well, you know, times have changed, and things are different. And today we have a moral situation that will require the same kind of spark, fire, enthusiasm, and commitment that produced our basic text to rectify. Wouldn't you say that would be a safe thing to
say? I don't
know
how God's going to straighten this one out.
Do you think God uses people?
Yeah.
And if God ain't using people to help straighten it out, then maybe they're
and
not
God's
using
helpless.
God. No, then maybe they're not using God in their life.
Yes.
It's a safe extrapolation.
You got 5 more minutes, and then we have dinner. Okay? But a lot of the stuff we're bringing up, Steve, is for the next section. Okay? Has not been debated. You're bringing things that are problems of today that we need to discuss in the next session, problems and
okay. The
solutions area.
All right.
It's not the history, the writing, the basic text.
Right.
Well,
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I'm an addict, man. And my name is Lawrence.
Lawrence.
My question, I have basically 3 questions. And I'll try to keep them simple for you. My first question is, when did we lose our common denominator in the basic text? Because it's not there no more.
Well, I've heard that, and you know, I've heard people talk about it at this workshop. But, you know, like my basic text with a special cover on it, that's not a 4th edition. And I still got gray forms. I mean, changes like that, you know, I'm counting on fellowship to wake up and inform itself accurately and address some of these things. And it's just a big one. It takes time. And I think 5 years ago, a lot of people couldn't envision as possible what's happened since then. And I think a lot of people, a lot of common deliberate recovery types are on the case today. So I see some remedy. Since I don't read the 4th and 5th edition, then if I hear somebody, you know, heard from a newcomer that just lacks some of the zip and zing, I'm not surprised, but other than that, I don't know what to think. I mean, maybe it's so just in that one case, or maybe it would be true 90 out of 100 people that read it. But really, who cares? I mean, let's get back to some sensibility. Let's get back to an approved structure. Let's get rid of the temporary working guide mentality. I mean, all that really means is that we follow the temporary working guide absolutely verbatim as written, unless some powerful person wants to do it another way. And then they just do as they damn well please. And the service well I existed in prior to 79, 80, 81 was very restable and very cut and dry, and we just didn't have that kind of bullshit. It just wasn't allowed. It would have been fantastic. Of course, we didn't have the World Service Conference either. It was just coming into existence. But at the area and regional level, those guys worked good. And, you know, now we've had our period of explosive growth. Now let's put a lid on it and get back to the business of serving the act, seeking recovery. And forget all this squabbling. Because if you really could mathematically figure it out, you'd find that everybody was a little right, everybody was a little wrong. There was a whole lot in between.
Okay. I'm asked the other two questions, and I could hope that you could respond to them. My second question was, the first copy of the basic text, I believe they were sold for $35, and I believe there was a purpose for selling those texts for $35. Was it because we needed to print more and we needed to sell them at those price in order to bring them down at the price that we originally intended to keep them, like a price affordable to, you know, again, the common denominator addict that's coming into the rooms.
Well,
my final question is, when did the service office stop serving the fellowship? When did it actually start, if you could?
Well, first, when the basic test was done and approved, the plan was maybe several plans. There may have been several plans, but the dominant plan that got approved was to have X number of basic texts printed with a red cover and sold for $25, and maybe it was 2,500 of them, and then like another 5,000 of them printed to be sold for $8 a piece, and then do your math on it, the income from that would pay for the whole first printing. So that was the way that we could finance within the fellowship without having to borrow from a bank or outside source enough money to do the first printing within traditions with no outside support within the fellowship. So, I mean, people would hear that and they'd send in, you know, 50, 100 bucks or two or three. And it was 25, though. And then the balance was sold for $8 each. I don't think WSO's ever stopped serving the needs of the fellowship entirely. I think there are many, many very good, very loyal, dedicated, hardworking, terrific individuals out there. And most of our problems, whether I'm just rationalizing it because it's more personally comfortable or whether it's really true, most of our problems are like growing pains. I mean, if you took a damn hamburger company or donut company and it grew from having one location to 5,000 locations in a year and a half, you would have what's called management problems. And if you take a little baby fellowship like ours and just bring it up to life size in 10 years, you've got what's called management problems. And of course, our disease takes, you know, those expectable problems and like, you know, God's let me down, see? I guess I have to go use some dope. I mean, isn't that smart? I mean, nobody can measure your clean time but you. You don't have a handle on everything, but you got that. So anyway, I just, you know, I never ignore entirely the 9% or more who are doing well at WSO, and they're answering the phone call, and they're staying in place out of love, and they want things to get better. And they're glad there have been some recent changes. And a lot of them may have just sort of given up hope, you know. But they didn't quit. And they kept trying. And I'm thinking the two or three specifics right now. Just fine people. Work at WSO. I mean, I'd stretch my neck out and let them put a, you know, sharp blade to it. and I'd never think they'd cut me.
You were mentioning how
of course, there are others, however, to whom I would not extend that opportunity.
You were mentioning how we could stop the squabbling and start to get the business at hand. Can you give us some concrete, you know, suggestions, some ideas, maybe some direction?
Well,
if I could
this is just sort of like hopefully an educated guess. It's easier to start new, big, desirable, clear goals that would excite and energize the fellowship today than to deal with matters of the past. That's why it's so hard to do the history. And what it is like there's this big fear that if you go too far with the history work, then you get into personal issues, and sooner or later you pick up clean time casualty or two. And I mean, like right in the middle of the history work, then, you know, XWSO something another shoots themselves, you know, right there on Wyandotte and Van Nuys, and we're all supposed to feel like hell. Well, I'm sorry, you know. People have been dying ever since I've been a grown person, and a lot of them die young and horrible. And if anybody's stupid enough to have such a rotten spiritual condition, I just feel sorry for them. You know, my little brother died when I was at the WSC, and I stayed out there because I had other brothers and sisters that weren't dead yet. And when the time came to put his ashes in the windows of the river, I was lucky to be there. But people die every day. And I mean, I don't think, you know, people are going to die over history work. That's pretty lame, I think. I mean, you know. But, you know, what I'm saying is there's like these real curious fears. Try to get somebody that opposes history work to put their finger on what the obstacle is. You know? Well, not right now. It'll cost too much money, or, well, we'll take it under advisement, or we'll form an ad hoc committee. I mean, they've been putting it off for years. They being whoever's at the World Service Conference, because I've introduced motions about this every year, and I couldn't say whether it was the office that opposed it, or the conference, or the Board of Trustees. There may have been some support and some opposition from all three on a given year. But for some reason, everybody acts like it's not cool for NA to have its own history. It's like we're supposed to be not real still, like we were not real in the days before we had our book. And it's like we lose that not quite real status if we have a history book. I mean, what's everybody afraid of? I mean, you know, I screwed some things up, you know, mailed out a world-lit mailing with an archaics novel in the envelope. Isn't that awful? I mean, really, it was pretty bad. We took it serious as hell at the time. But so what? I mean, that has been done a long time. If there's any harm done, surely it's over by now. And other people did wrong things and things they'd love to undo or take back. So what, are you going to focus on that or the good stuff? Now, I mean, I see a young fellowship hungry for answers, and I don't think the fellowship cares anything about who screwed up or who was successful, who do we got to kowtow to, you know. You're cool, Bo. You're a drag, Jack. I mean, that ain't the game. It's like when I'm having troubles in my area, I need to know how I can adapt a pattern that's worked for somebody else. How do I solve my problems at my group level? What were the dreams and values and intents of people that have played a historical role in NA? That's what newcomers ask me today. That's what I think people want. I mean, they really don't want dirty laundry. And I think some people think that's all there is dirty laundry. And, you know, there's a lot more than that. So.
I'm an addict named Jody. It's kind of like, you know, I've heard Bob Stone's rationale that, you know, the reason why we don't have a history is, you know, the concept of spiritual anonymity and that our founders are supposed to remain anonymous and all that other bullshit as his rationalization. It's like they expect us to be like adopted children that are not allowed to know their parents and expect us to grow up functional. you know. It's an unreal expectation, I think, especially with spiritual entity. You also brought up earlier that, you know, our steps talk about the addict who still suffers, and addicts can be people with 20 years clean going through this, and sometimes it's overlooked. Appreciate you bringing that up. You've said on different occasions that a lot of these problems started when we stopped writing our own original literature, and that maybe the squabbling would stop if we started working on something new. And you've discussed maybe working on a history and also a book on the spiritual experiences. There's a lot of things unspoken, especially from the older, even the newer members, about these spiritual experiences, and they're carrying them around thinking they're crazy. And we've talked about getting that together. And what do you think about if we just stop? It's like, instead of focusing on the disease, focusing on recovery. What do you think if we started writing new literature? What do you think would happen?
Well, you know, I've shared mainly as World Lit Chair, and I want to step out of that role for a moment because I've also served as WC Vice Chair and on two ad hocs and board trustees and liaison to various WC subcommittees and worked 3 weeks night and day on the structure in Memphis, the first half of which is the approved current form. Just tons of stuff like that. And as a service technician, I'm aware of the fact that under any version of our, you know, approved written service structure, there's always been allowance made for individual initiative and for group initiative, area, regional, or world, so that a piece of written material could originate from a member, from a group, from an area, from a region, or from a world-level committee. Now, there's the theory. And in application, some pieces have originated from all those levels. Okay, and then I think the last few years they've been having such a time of it that it's like the belief or fear or something like that. No, if we got literature from individuals or from small groups, the chance that it would be good enough to reach approval without extensive rewriting, restructuring, rephrasing, you know, take out addiction, put in drug addiction, and just rubber stamping it and making sure all the little terms are cool, then it's just like exclude that, no more members initiative. But still, I think we're going to have members who write books. And I'd love to see 100 of them. And I may not read all 100 books, but I cherish the choice. And meanwhile, if WorldLit wants to pursue its staff team approach and all that, I think it's just a real shame and a tragedy and an abuse, but if that's what they want to do and y'all are going to let them get away with it, then fine. Let them do it. But I think loving individuals can do more than rich bureaucrats, actually. So if they want to do that, I'm not mad at them. I hope they ain't mad if I don't do that and try to find some other positive thing to do. I'm really tired of even following the plot. I mean, it's just lame. And I know the beauty in y'all. Y'all can do it. You can. So what's next? We're going to go to dinner? Dinner?